but the organizers who are starting this. We're also seeing a major logistics network supporting this. Young kids who want to be a part of something and they think this is the right thing to do. This is their moment. This is their 1960s. What they don't realize is that they're participating in something that's been created and curated by a large network that has a lot of funding behind it, that is pushing very radical ideas, extremist ideologies that are not just anti-Israel, anti-Semitic, but ultimately anti-American. And I think getting to the funding source, the logistics source of all of this, has got to be a key priority for the federal government, because a lot of this has crossed state lines. And that means there is a federal hook here to have an investigation.
It's Wednesday, May the 8th, and this is Narrative Wars. Coming up in today's show, Gaza protests have spread from coast to coast in America. Was this spontaneous and organic student-organized movement, or are other agitators involved? And President Donald Trump scored a huge win this week when one of his lawfare cases was indefinitely postponed. And finally, Speaker Johnson is in serious trouble with his own members because of his support from a new group of Washington friends. These stories and much more on today's edition of Narrative Wars. I'm your host, Dr. Jeffrey K. Lyons, and you don't want to miss this.
We the people are sick and tired.
Let's peel back the curtain of confusion to shed light upon the mainstream media madness. And now, Narrative Wars, with your host, Jeffrey K. Lyons.
We the people are sick and tired, so tired.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you're interested in following this program on social media, just search for at Jeffrey K. Lyons. And that's Lyons with a Y. You're going to find Jeffrey K. Lyons Narrative Wars on X, formerly known as Twitter, Truth Social, and Getter. Again, just search for at Jeffrey K. Lyons for all of these and other links. I look forward to reading your comments. And now our first story regarding unrest and riots at university campuses across the nation. Dozens of university campuses across the nation have erupted in violent protests over the situation in Gaza in the Middle East. Now, new information is coming out regarding the influencers of these protests. Let's take a listen to this piece from Live Now from Fox. It's May 3rd, 2024. This is 55 seconds. Let's take a listen to cut number one.
What does it say to you that these have spread nationwide to college campuses?
Well, there's two important phenomena, I think, that have evolved over the last 20 years. Number one, the Hamas influence networks did not go away. We remember the indictments of the early 2000s of things like the Holy Land Foundation case. Those networks have reorganized, stood back up, and increased in influence and power across the country. And so there's clearly a national support network to organize and provide logistics that needs to be brought down. The second piece, though, is the embedding of that Hamas influence network inside this intersectional culture that we've seen pop up over the last decade, especially on college campuses, but in the far left in general. And so what they've done is they've embedded themselves as a cause that the far left needs to adopt.
Here is the news flash. There is nothing spontaneous about this round of protest across university campuses all over the United States of America. 2,000 protesters have been arrested, and this was as of May the 3rd, 2024, according to Live Now from Fox, links in the show notes. More than 2,000 protesters have been arrested in connection with Gaza war protests on U.S. college campuses. 56 arrests in New York City on Friday morning. More than 200 protesters arrested on the UCLA campus. So, you know, this story is obviously coast to coast, but the breaking news is that this is not a spontaneous student movement at all. This is organized. This is funded. Town Hall, May 5th, 2024. Pro-Hamas students reportedly trained by left-wing groups 9 months before the college protest. So according to this Town Hall article, left-wing groups and activists have reportedly been receiving training for months ahead of the chaotic pro-terrorism protests occurring on college campuses. And this, according to the Wall Street Journal report, many of the pro-Hamas agitators have been consulting with groups such as National Students for Justice in Palestine. You know, they always pick rather benign names, but there's nothing benign about this group. Another group, Palestinian Prisoner Solidarity Network. So these are some of the groups, just a few of the groups that have been training students up to 9 months prior to what you're seeing right now breaking out across college campuses. You know, this is timed. This is not a coincidence. This is being done just prior to graduation season in order to make a point, in order to disrupt the university season of graduation, and in order to make major impact, because that's the time that families come and people are supposed to come and rejoice that their child has finished their four-year degree. But they want to disrupt this. They want to make their point. They want maximum headlines and what we call wall-to-wall coverage across the news media. So the article continues, the protesters were reportedly trained on how to encourage college students to join in on the demonstrations. Columbia University students attended a teach-in hosted by former members of the Black Panthers before the pro-Hamas protests began. Quote, "We took notes from our elders, engaged in dialogue with them, and analyzed how the university responded to previous protests," unquote. And that was a graduate student, Suella Polat, a graduate student and organizer in the pro-Palestinian encampment. So, yeah, their elders are Black Panther protesters, remember, from the 60s and the 70s. And they think this is really cool. What's someone else commented that there's something very different and very strange. We're at a pivot point in America about this. If you remember, in the 60s and 70s, if you've read your history or watched your documentaries, in the 60s and 70s, they were pro, or maybe you saw the movie Forrest Gump, and you saw the scenes of protests across college campuses against the war in Vietnam, the burning of draft cards. They were protesting at that time because they didn't want to go to war. But in this case, the protesters are not affected directly by the war in Gaza, the war in the Middle East, the rockets coming across from Gaza to Israel. Not unless you have a relative living there. Then, yes, you would have an effect. But we're not talking about millions and millions of Americans being drafted to go to war, to fight in Israel, to fight and be a part of this conflict. That's not part of the dynamic here. In another article, Washington Examiner, May 3rd, 2024, Mike Gonzalez, who is a senior fellow at the Heritage Foundation, he's got all sorts of experience, close to 20 years journalist, 15 years reporting in Europe, Asia, Latin America. Mike Gonzalez writes in this article published in the Washington Examiner, May 3rd, 2024. Again, the links are in the show notes for this program. He talks about Columbia University, the groups behind the protests, And he mentions various groups. He gets really detailed in this article. We don't have time to get into all of this, but I'm going to give you a couple quick headlines, and I encourage you to dig in deeper. One group is called ANSWER. That's an acronym. Act Now to Stop War and End Racism. Again, it has a somewhat benign sound to it. What's wrong with stopping war and ending racism? Well, it's who they're connected with and what their modus operandi is. ANSWER is financially sponsored project of Progress Unity Fund, tax-exempt 501c3 organization with a long history of promoting society's most radical causes. The Progress Unity Fund, closely tied to Workers' World Party, described by Discover the Networks as Marxist-Leninist vanguard. So again, if you follow the money, you're going to get some answers regarding this group ANSWER. They're taking money from the Progress Unity Fund, which is connected to Marxist-Leninist agitators. The Progress Unity Fund, then they receive money from Tides Foundation. So it's like one hand gives to another hand, which gives to another. And it's sort of this bucket brigade of money from left-wing organizations. Oh, and ANSWER, according to ResearchGate, they also get money from George Soros's Open Society Foundation. So follow the money. This is what's taking place. And again, we don't have time to get into this entire article, but it's up there. You can track it. You can read it. It's probably about a 5-minute read, and it's worth taking a look at. Again, if you've got students in these universities, you know, if you're a parent or if you're a friend of someone going to one of these universities with this sort of activity, get them out of there. There's a lot of universities to choose from in the United States of America. And one beautiful thing about America is that we still have freedom of choice. Coming up next, President Donald Trump received some good news this week from a courtroom in Florida. Let's take a listen to this piece from WPBF, 25 News, West Palm Beach, Florida. This is May 7, 2024.
Our breaking news right now at 5:30, Judge Aileen Cannon in Fort Pierce has indefinitely postponed former President Donald Trump's classified documents trial. She cites significant issues around classified evidence that would need to be worked out before the federal criminal case goes to trial. This ruling makes it all but certain the case will not be tried before the November presidential election.
Now, this is huge news. President Donald Trump, once again, I don't want to say dodges the bullet. No, he's been vindicated because this was a ridiculous trial. Never should have gone to trial. You know, you look at Joe Biden and all the documents that he took, which were classified while he was vice president of the United States, and he kept them in his garage next to his famous Corvette. But he didn't do anything wrong. The DOJ didn't investigate that. But Trump had some documents that were classified. But as president of the United States, he can declassify any document. He has that power. And those documents were in his possession when he was the president of the United States. And they were at Mar-a-Lago, guarded in a safe location where, by the way, there's Secret Service agents. But for some reason, Trump did something wrong. Well, once again, this was bogus. This was Jack Smith trying to just throw the mud and try and get anything to stick that would put Trump in a bad light. It really never was about the trial going forward. It was about tying Trump up, keeping him off the campaign trail, and driving stories to the mainstream, lamestream, mockingbird media in order to make Donald Trump look bad prior to the election. They know they can't win this election on the issues. So they've got to cheat by weaponizing the Department of Justice. So here's an article, WPBF 25 News, West Palm Beach, May the 7th. U.S. District Court, Judge Eileen Cannon, on Tuesday this week, indefinitely postponed the May 20 trial date in Special Counsel Jack Smith's classified documents case against former President Donald Trump. All right. She did the right thing. That's Judge Eileen Cannon, and we salute her here at Narrative Wars. All right. Quote, here's Eileen Cannon, and here's what she said about her ruling. The court also determines that finalization of a trial date at this juncture before resolution of the myriad and interconnected pretrial and CIPA, that's Classified Information Procedures Act, issues remaining and forthcoming would be imprudent and inconsistent with the court's duty to fully and fairly consider. In basically, what she's saying is this case is so complex, so convoluted, so tied up in federal regulation that there's no way we can bring this to trial by the May 20th, 2024 trial date. There's no way that Trump can get a fair trial because his defense team can't even prepare. I mean, we're talking about thousands and thousands of pages of documents. So she continues. This is Judge Eileen Cannon, U.S. District Court. Quote, the court therefore vacates the current May 28th, 2024 trial date. In other words, vacate, erases it from the calendar and associated calendar call to be reset by separate order following resolution of the matters before the court. So there are pending matters. She has requested information from Jack Smith. Apparently, it has not come in on time, or there's still other important pieces of information which she has requested, which Smith has failed to provide at this point. So that's it. The article also mentions, and we've talked about this in past podcasts, at the same time, the Supreme Court of the United States, they heard oral arguments recently regarding Trump's immunity claims on April 25th. Well, we're in the month of May. The Supreme Court comes out with their final rulings on their most important cases, usually in the first, second week of June. And then they break for the summer and start their new Supreme Court session in the fall. Kind of like an academic year. They go fall to spring, the Supreme Court does. So it will be very interesting when the immunity claims case drops from the Supreme Court. I predict that it'll be either unanimous or there'll be one or two liberal judges that will be peeled off. But I do believe there will be a ruling in Trump's favor, but it will be a measured ruling. And it will probably say, yes, if a president does commit certain acts that are egregious, it's already there in the Constitution, the remedy for such a situation. And that remedy would be impeachment. It's there in the Constitution. Not being paraded around from court to court in liberal states, which already are slanted. I mean, it's no coincidence that New York was chosen, that Georgia was chosen, a certain county in Georgia where Trump is not popular, and of course, Washington, D.C. These are all cherry-picked places where Trump just cannot get a fair trial. And it's become so obvious. The left and Jack Smith, they have overplayed their hand. You know, if they just went for one or two trials, and if they didn't have indictments, which would add up to hundreds of years in jail, they might have gotten away with it. But they overplayed their hand. And the Supreme Court has finally stepped in. You remember in December, they weren't going to take the case. But now they have. They've already heard arguments, and they're going to rule in early June. So stay tuned. It's going to get very dicey in the month of June. Ladies and gentlemen, if you found value in this program, please share it. Please share it with one or two like-minded friends. You know, we mention this every program, but it's really, really important. And I really am grateful when you share this with one or two friends. So, you know, if you're driving, don't share it. But if you're not driving at your and your home, you know, you can pause this program and share it with one or two friends that you feel would also benefit from this program. You know, we rely on listeners just like you to keep this program in production. Also, please 5-star rate, and if you can, leave comments. You know, it only takes a few seconds. Just 5-star rate that program. It'll push it up in the algorithms, and more people will see that. You can find this program on all your favorite podcast apps. You know, if you're new to this program, or if you're just new to podcasting in general, you can find it on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, iTunes. Just go to your favorite app on your device and search for Jeffrey K. Lyons' Narrative Wars. Coming up next, Speaker Johnson is in trouble once again with his own Republican House members. Well, let's take a listen to this piece. Now, Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene, she reposted in her Twitter account on May the 6th, this piece that we're going to listen to. It was put up by Chad Pergram. He's the senior congressional correspondent for Fox News, and he had a little hallway interview with a past Speaker of the House of the current minority party, so that's Nancy Pelosi. And he had a conversation with Nancy Pelosi regarding the current Speaker of the House, who is, of course, Mike Johnson from Louisiana. Before we listen to this, I think it's important. These are Marjorie Taylor Greene's comments regarding this brief conversation that occurred between Chad Pergram and Nancy Pelosi. MTG writes in her post on Twitter, "The entire Democrat Party is lining up behind Mike Johnson. First, it was the entire leadership team for the Democrats. Now, Nancy Pelosi, who impeached President Trump twice." Good point, MTG. "Nancy Pelosi has given Johnson her seal of approval." Huh. So MTG writes the following, or poses the following question rhetorically: what deal has been made? In other words, is there quid pro quo? Has Johnson tacitly or somehow promised, "Well, I'll do this if you do that for me. If you support me, then I will support the Democrat agenda"? Well, he's already done that. Look at the funding that just passed. Speaker Johnson was adamant that the funding, any funding that would be brought up before the House of Representatives, would be tied to the defense of the southern border of the United States of America. Nope, that didn't happen. That got stripped out. So basically, Johnson just passed a bill, this atrocious bill for foreign aid that just got passed, about $95 billion, and there was no funding, no resources given for the defense of the southern border. Let's take a listen to this. Only 21 seconds, and this is Chad Pergram, senior correspondent, Fox News, and he's talking to Nancy Pelosi, and then we'll discuss a little further.
Madam Speaker, how are you?
How are you, Chad?
Good. Good to see you. Do you support Leader Jeffrey's move to support the Speaker, the current Speaker, on the motion to table?
I support our leader. I think he's very much in touch with our caucus, and yes, I will support him.
What does this say about Speaker Johnson if he has to turn to the minority party to survive?
He doesn't have to turn to the minority party. What the minority party is saying is we support the integrity of the House of Representatives.
Oh, so Nancy Pelosi is taking the high road. The minority, she said, they're not supporting Speaker Johnson. Of course they are. If they vote to table, which means to kill the motion to vacate the Speaker of the House, if they vote to kill that motion, obviously they're supporting the Speaker of the House. But no, she's just the master of she's the master of spin. I mean, it's the reason why she was Democrat Speaker for so many years. No, they're not voting to support Speaker Johnson. They're voting to support the integrity of the House of Representatives. And of course, they want Speaker Johnson to stay in his current position because he's just become a puppet of Chuckie Schumer and President Biden. CNN, April 30th, 2024. House Democrats announced they would save Speaker Mike Johnson if Marjorie Taylor Greene triggers her effort to oust him. Well, the latest is that MTG has said she'll probably still bring this motion to vacate the chair up. And she's not afraid to do that, even if it does not pass, because yes, she needs Democrats in order to pass this. And that's what happened when Kevin McCarthy lost his position as Speaker of the House. He never saw it coming. He arrogantly pushed back. But the Democrats, they rallied and they got rid of Kevin McCarthy. Now, why did they do that? Is it because they believed in Marjorie Taylor Greene and the Republican caucus, the conservative caucus, the Freedom Caucus in the House of Representatives? No, they did it in order to cause problems. And that's exactly what's happened. You notice that no backbone Kevin McCarthy left Congress early, along with a number of other members. So they had 3 or 4 member majority. It depends how you count it, because they foolishly got rid of a member, George Santos. And really, that should have been left up to the voters. But they threw him out. They got rid of him. Legally, they can do that, but it was a bad move. And then a number of other members of the House just up and quit. Oh, I'm out of here. I'm out of here. And they didn't even serve the remainder of their term. So now there's a one vote majority. And so this is so close that Speaker Jeffries could become a reality between now and the end of the calendar year 2024. That is exactly why the Democrats voted to get rid of McCarthy, to cause chaos and to weaken the Republican Party. And that's exactly what happened. Now, we continue with this article here. House Democrats announced they would save Speaker Mike Johnson, CNN, April 30th, 2024. Now, this is interesting here. At this moment, upon completion of our national security work, the time has come to turn the page on this chapter of pro-Putin Republican obstruction. We will vote to table Rep. Marjorie Taylor Greene's motion to vacate the chair. And this is what the Democrats are saying. So the Democrats, again, are pretending that they're taking the high road, voting to table the motion to vacate the chair. And they're saying that this is a national security issue and that Republicans that want to get rid of Speaker Johnson are pro-Putin. So this is what we call a false dichotomy. Voting to vacate the chair does not equate to being pro-Putin. False dichotomy. one has nothing to do with the other. You could also say it's a non sequitur. It just doesn't follow. So it's a fallacy. And the point is that Marjorie Taylor Greene, in multiple lengthy conversations along with the conservative caucus, they had assurances from Speaker Johnson that he would not let any bill come across, any major funding bill, be brought up in the House of Representatives unless there would be, again, funding for the defense of the border. And Speaker Johnson caved, completely caved. No backbone Johnson. Quote, I have to do my job, Johnson told reporters. Quote, we have to do what we believe is the right thing. What the country needs right now is a functioning Congress. How about a Congress that has the backbone to recognize that there's an invasion taking place at the southern border and that it's more important to fund the defense of the United States of America at the southern border than continually to send billions and billions and billions of dollars to Ukraine. I'm just putting that out there. Just putting that thought out there. Kentucky GOP Rep. Thomas Massie, he's joined Green's effort in unseating or vacating the chair of the Speaker of the House. So we'll see how this goes. I predict that Speaker Johnson will keep his seat, but if Marjorie Taylor Greene is successfully able to bring the motion to the floor of the House of Representatives, then all of the members will go on record. Now, those members that have absolutely no backbone at all, they simply will not vote, but that'll be on record also. Or they simply may not show up that day. That'll be on record also. So we'll see how all of this goes. It just keeps getting more and more interesting. And now some closing thoughts with late breaking great news for patriots and lovers of liberty. Folks, we want to go out on a positive note here, and this is great news. Massachusetts, the New York Times has reported in a May 6 article titled, MIT will no longer require diversity statements for hiring faculty, that it will drop its policy of requiring faculty applicants to write DEI statements that would, quote, explain how they would enhance diversity. Now, this is truly a great thing because getting rid of DEI is happening all across the United States of America. Florida, this year, just a few months ago, earlier this year, defunded DEI. That's diversity, equity, inclusion. The Office of DEI in the state-funded universities in the state of Florida. Now, this is occurring in a private university, Massachusetts Institute of Technology. So, a couple points here. First, as a former university faculty member, and I'm talking about myself, I worked at three different universities over a 10-year period, teaching at both graduate and undergraduate levels. And so I've taught first year, first semester freshmen to master's degree students to doctoral level students. Although I wasn't required to write any DEI statement as a requirement for my being hired at any of these universities, it's clear what the intent of a DEI statement is. It's an attempt to get inside the head of potential faculty members and to screen them on a 1 to 10 wokeness scale. Well, of course, there's no actual scale. You're not going to find it in the files when a faculty member is applying for a position, but it's understood. The effect is understood, and it's assumed by the faculty hiring committee. And think about it. There's probably many faculty or potential faculty members that would like to apply to XYZ University, and they just don't do it. They just don't do it because that's a requirement. So it becomes a barrier to hiring the best. And it clearly tilts these universities like Columbia University, where all these riots are taking place, UCLA in California, of course. It tilts them farther and farther to the left. According to the article, DEI statements have become enshrined in faculty hiring at many elite public and private universities, as well as in corporate life, unquote. Well, this week, we here at Narrative Wars celebrate the courage and the decisiveness of MIT's president, Sally Kornbluth, who stated that diversity statements constituted a form of compelled speech. Kornbluth further stated, quote, "My goals are to tap into the full scope of human talent, to bring the very best to MIT, and to make sure they thrive once here." Well, clearly, it's as I just mentioned, you're going to screen people out. People are just going to say, I don't want to apply for that university. Look, if University X and University Y both pay the same, why would you want to go to University X if they want to tie your hands academically by forcing you to write a diversity statement? It's the opposite of free speech. Well, for this, we salute this week for her courage and her fortitude to take decisive action. As president of MIT, we salute Sally Kornbluth. Good job. Good job. And we certainly hope that this is going to be a trend at other elite universities in the United States of America. If you enjoyed today's program, please give it a 5-star rating, share it with one or two like-minded friends. That's how we continue to grow our community. America shall remain the land of the free and the home of the brave, a place where we can still proclaim liberty throughout the land. Until next time, for Narrative Wars, I'm your host, Dr. Jeffrey K. Lyons.
We the people are sick and tired. Hey! So tired. Hey!